Hi there. Welcome to GCSE Psychology Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most fascinating topics in social psychology, bystander behavior. Have you ever wondered why people sometimes don't help in emergencies, even when someone desperately needs it? Or why a crowded street might be the worst place to collapse? By the end of this episode, you'll understand the psychology behind these questions, and more importantly, you'll know exactly what examiners want to see in your answers. We'll be focusing on the classic Pilyavin subway study from 1969, exploring the bystander effect, diffusion of responsibility, and the cost-reward model. Let's get started. Let's begin with the fundamentals. The bystander effect is the phenomenon where individuals are less likely to help a victim when other people are present. The more bystanders there are, the less likely any single person is to intervene. This might sound counterintuitive, right? You'd think more people means more help, but psychology tells us otherwise. Now, a key concept you absolutely must know for your exam is diffusion of responsibility. This is the decrease in personal obligation to help when others are present. Essentially, each bystander thinks someone else will help, so nobody does. This is a situational factor. It's about the environment and context, not about personality. But here's where it gets interesting. The Pilyavin study from 1969 actually challenged this idea. Irving Pilyavin and his team conducted a field experiment on the New York subway, and what they found was surprising. Let me give you the specific details examiners love to see. The study involved 103 trials conducted over 2 months. That's 103 staged emergencies on real subway trains. The researchers ran between 6 and 8 trials per day with a 7.5-minute gap between each trial to ensure different passengers. The study involved approximately 4,450 passengers in total. These numbers are gold for your exam answers. Here's how it worked. A male victim would collapse in the critical area of the subway car 70 seconds after the train left the station. There were 4 conditions. In the cane condition, the victim carried a black cane, appearing ill. In the drunk condition, the victim smelled of alcohol and carried a bottle in a brown bag. They also varied the victim's race, either black or white. The researchers wanted to see how victim responsibility and race affected helping behavior. Now, the results were remarkable. The cane victim received help in 95% of trials, and help came quickly, usually within 70 seconds before the model helper had to intervene. Even the drunk victim received help in about 50% of trials. This is much higher than laboratory studies predicted. And here's the crucial finding. Diffusion of responsibility was not supported. In fact, help was more likely to come from the critical area where there were more bystanders. This contradicted Latane and Darley's earlier research. So why did people help so much? This is where the cost-reward model comes in. Pilyavin argued that bystanders weigh up 2 types of costs. First, the costs of helping. Danger, effort, embarrassment, and time. Second, the costs of not helping. Guilt, blame from others, and damage to self-image. When the costs of not helping outweigh the costs of helping, people intervene. In the subway, the costs of not helping were high. You're in a confined space you can't escape, and you'd have to live with the guilt for the entire journey. Plus, the cane victim appeared genuinely ill. The cost of not helping someone in real need is psychologically very high. That's why help rates were so impressive. Right, let's talk exam technique. This is where students often lose marks, so listen carefully. First, do not confuse diffusion of responsibility with pluralistic ignorance. Diffusion of responsibility is about group size reducing personal obligation. Pluralistic ignorance is when people look to others for cues about how to behave, and if everyone looks calm, they assume it's not an emergency. These are different concepts, and examiners will penalize you for mixing them up. Second, when you're describing Pilyavin's study, be specific. Don't just say, they did an experiment on a subway. Say, Pilyavin conducted 103 trials on the New York subway between 1969 involving approximately 4,450 passengers. Cite the 95% help rate for the cane victim. Mention the 70-second collapse point and the 7.5-minute gap between trials. This specific knowledge is what gets you into the higher mark bands. Third, understand the difference between situational and dispositional factors. Situational factors are environmental, like the number of bystanders, the setting, or whether the victim appears responsible for their condition. Dispositional factors are about personality, mood, or individual characteristics. Pilyavin focused on situational factors. Fourth, when you're evaluating the study, balance your argument. Yes, it has high ecological validity because it was a real-world setting with real passengers, but there are ethical issues. No informed consent, potential psychological harm to passengers who witnessed a collapse. Also, there's a lack of control over extraneous variables like time of day, passenger characteristics, and prior experiences. Finally, know your assessment objectives. AO1 is knowledge, that's describing the study. AO2 is application, that's using the study to explain a scenario. AO3 is evaluation, that's strengths and weaknesses. For this topic, AO2 is weighted at 40%. So practice applying the cost-reward model to different situations. Let's test your memory. I'll ask a question, pause, and then give the answer. Cover your notes and see how you do. Question 1. How many trials did Pillyevan conduct? The answer is 103 trials. Question 2. What percentage of cane victims received help? The answer is 95%. Question 3. What are the two types of costs in the cost-reward model? The answer is costs of helping and costs of not helping. Question 4. How long after the train left the station did the victim collapse? The answer is 70 seconds. Question 5. What was the key finding regarding diffusion of responsibility? The answer is, it was not supported. People helped more when more bystanders were present in the critical area. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant. If not, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up. Today we've covered bystander behavior, focusing on Pillyevan's 1969 subway study. Remember the key concepts: the bystander effect, diffusion of responsibility, and the cost-reward model. Know your specific figures: 103 trials, 4,450 passengers, 95% help rate for the cane victim, 70-second collapse point. For your exam, be specific with your knowledge, distinguish between situational and dispositional factors, and don't confuse diffusion of responsibility with pluralistic ignorance. Balance your evaluations, and remember that AO2 application is heavily weighted for this topic. Thanks for listening to GCSE Psychology Essentials. Keep practicing those exam questions, and remember, understanding the psychology of helping behavior might just make you more likely to help someone in need yourself. Good luck with your revision.